Picture this. You're in a high-stakes leadership team meeting. Two candidates are being discussed for a senior role. One is calm, measured, a proven performer who speaks with humility. The other, bold, charismatic, confidently making sweeping claims about the vision and the leadership. No one questions who will get the job. The second candidate walks away with the offer. Fast forward 18 months, the hire is a disaster. The team is fractured. The numbers are off. But no one saw it coming because everyone mistook confidence for competence.
You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success.
Welcome back to The Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences, and this is episode 4 of our 5-part miniseries on overconfidence, leadership's double-edged sword. In our last episode, we explored overplacement, the belief that we are better than others, and how it blinds leaders to threats and competitors. Today, we turn our attention to the social side of overconfidence, why bold, self-assured people often rise through the ranks, even when their track record doesn't support it, and what that means for leadership, hiring, and culture. Also, a quick reminder, Mammoth Leadership Sciences is launching its Leadership Academy this fall. The first offer will be a transformative course designed to help leaders embrace evolutionary, psychological, and behavioral economic truths in their decision-making and team-building. More details soon. Let's dive in. And let's talk about the overconfidence charm offensive. Overconfidence isn't just a personal bias, it's a social superpower. When someone walks into a room radiating certainty, clarity, and conviction, we're wired to take notice. We instinctively associate confidence with intelligence, leadership, and capability. And this has deep evolutionary roots. In ancestral environments, projecting confidence signaled strength, decisiveness, and high status. A confident leader could rally followers, deter rivals, and command attention, even when they were not the most competent. Overconfidence more often than not worked, especially in uncertain conditions where assertiveness counted more than accuracy. Modern research confirms this. Studies by Belmi et al. 2020, and again we have the literature in the show notes, show that people from higher social classes tend to display greater overconfidence, and that this very overconfidence makes them more likely to be perceived as competent and hireable, regardless of their actual performance. Put simply, confidence sells. And in business, that's a dangerous illusion, simply because swagger has the ability to outshine substance. Let's go back to our opening scenario. We've all been in rooms where the loudest voice wins, right? Consider the case of Theranos. For years, founder Elizabeth Holmes dazzled investors, regulators, and even former US secretaries of state with bold promises about her company's blood testing technology. Her delivery was flawless, her vision revolutionary, her voice lowered deliberately to project gravitas. But behind the curtain, the tech didn't work. Warnings were ignored. Dissenters were silenced. Holmes' overconfidence paired with immense charisma created a bubble of belief that burst only after lives were affected and billions were lost. Or take Adam Neumann of WeWork. His vision to elevate the world consciousness through co-working spaces captured the imagination of investors and employees alike. He projected such supreme confidence that no one dared challenge the financials until the IPO collapsed under scrutiny. These are not isolated cases. They are symptoms of a system that often rewards certainty over confidence. Now, why are we keeping falling for it? Well, the psychology behind this is clear and unsettling. In a phenomenon known as the confidence heuristic, people tend to judge those who speak with certainty as more knowledgeable, even when they're wrong. Moore and Healy showed that in 2008. When someone makes bold, unqualified statements, we subconsciously think they must know what they're talking about. This bias is amplified in high-pressure environments, hiring, pitching, negotiating. We're drawn to confident candidates because they make us feel safe. They sound like they have answers. We project competence onto their poise. But the cost is steep. Organizations elevate the wrong people. Teams silence their own doubts. Critical voices get labeled as negative, weak. And once in power, overconfident leaders rarely invite challenge. They surround themselves with yes men and women, magnifying blind spots. It's a feedback loop of illusion. Confidence isn't bad, but unchecked confidence can hijack your culture. So here is a call to action, a practical tip. This week, examine your hiring, promotion, or team evaluation processes. Ask, are we rewarding those who speak the loudest or those with proven results and strong judgment? Invite input from quieter team members. And if you're a leader yourself, consider this. What's one decision I've made based more on swagger than substance? So let's wrap up what we learned this week. Overconfidence isn't just internal, it's performative. Leaders who project certainty are often mistaken for competent. Systems that reward confidence over accuracy create long-term risks. All right, if you're still with us, thank you. Each episode in this series is built towards a clear understanding of how overconfidence shapes our organizations, often in ways we don't see until it's too late. So stay tuned, because next week we go deeper. What happens when confidence crosses a line from bias to strategy, when it becomes manipulation, when people use overconfidence not just to fool themselves, but to fool others? In episode 5, the final installment of this series, we explore the confidence game, the dark side of overconfidence as a tool for deception and control. From Silicon Valley to politics, we'll see how confidence, when weaponized, can mislead entire systems. Also, our Mammoth Leadership Sciences Academy launches this fall. If you've been following this series, you want to go deeper, the Academy will offer a course designed for you. More soon. All right, thanks for tuning in today. If this episode made you think, please subscribe, rate, and share it with anyone in your network. And of course, check out my book, The Mammoth in the Room. It's a practical, science-based roadmap for embracing evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And it does that in 3 sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.